You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
Okay, if you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8, we're going to continue with a study that we started a couple of weeks ago, the Sunday before Mother's Day, and it's a study on generosity. And so for the next few times that I speak, I'm going to be covering these two chapters. And so if you want to go ahead and read through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, then you'll be prepared for the lessons that I'll be speaking anyway. I'm going to try to pull four different lessons out of these two chapters. And they're really great chapters on this topic of being generous. And in fact, they're... It's really, I think, the longest section in the Scriptures on this topic of generosity. And Paul is specifically talking here about taking up a collection to give to disciples in Jerusalem who are undergoing the consequences and the results of a famine. And so they are in great need. And so he's going throughout the Gentile churches to try to take up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem, which were Jewish Christians. And so it's really a bigger idea than just taking up a collection. Paul is trying to demonstrate in the church that there should be no difference between Jew and Gentile. They were all one in Christ. And so he's trying to draw people together by talking about this aspect of generosity. And it's interesting to me that in these two chapters where Paul talks about this, he doesn't use the word money one time. You just don't find it in these chapters here. You find gift, and you find grace, and you find the grace of giving, but he doesn't talk specifically about money. What he does talk about throughout the chapter is heart. Because really, being generous and giving to God, it is a matter of the heart. And it's our willingness in our heart to give to God. And so I want us to read, we're going to focus today on verses 10 through 15. And we're going to look at different points from this section, but I would like for us to go back to verse 1 and read verses 1 through 15. So 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 15. You guys with me? Here we go. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We covered those first 9 verses. Now, let's read 10 through 15 together. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, in your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much will not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. So let's break this down now and talk a little bit about this and just see what Paul is saying here in this aspect of giving and generosity, and specifically some points. He mentions here, I'm going to advise you on some things. And so we're getting into this section, verses 10 through 15, where he's giving some practical advice about generosity. And I know we like that. We like to have just practicals. Give me some practicals. Give me some things that I can do. And at the beginning, he talks about willingness. He says, give yourself first, and then your gift. And he talks about the example of Jesus, who even though he was rich, became poor for us. And so this is typical Paul. Paul, before he gets into advice, he likes to just put a good foundation of good thinking there. And so he teaches them how to think. Think first about giving your heart and being willing to give and giving yourself, and then think about your gift. Think about what Jesus has done for you. And I appreciate that about Paul. In the book of Ephesians, for example, the first three chapters are, this is how you ought to think. And then the last three chapters are, this is what you ought to do now that you know how to think. And he does the same with Philippians. First two chapters, very much how you ought to think. Last two chapters, what you ought to do. And here he begins this by, this is how you think about it. Give yourself first. Give your heart first. Be like Jesus. And now he says, but let me give you some practical advice. And the first point that he makes, you guys with me?
Yeah.
The first point that he makes is finish what you start. Finish what you start. And he mentions that right there in the very first two verses, verses 10 and 11. Finish what you started. And you know, that adage right there is great, not just for generosity, but it's great about anything in life. You know, finish what you start. If you start something, go ahead and finish it. You know, we've started our life as disciples of Jesus. Let's make sure that we finish. And not just finish stumbling through the finish line, but finish strong as disciples of Jesus. But whatever we do in life, we need to have that attitude. And it includes our generosity to finish what we start. And, you know, when I studied Kung Fu, and I was there with Mike Centauri and a number of other people, our Sifu used to, that's an instructor or a teacher in Chinese, that's all that is, Sifu. We used to think it was seafood, and we'd get really hungry every time we showed up for class, but it's Sifu, and he's our instructor. And he used to teach us, he used to say to us, you got to finish strong, and you need to give your best when you finish. And whenever we would go through different exercises, or we would go through the opening drills, we would do three sets, and each time when we got to the third set, they would say, third set, best set. Because you knew it was your last set, and you had to give everything that you had. And the thing is, if you didn't, there would be a fourth set. And if you didn't do it your best then, there would be a fifth set. He would keep you going until he felt like you had done your best. And that was great training in the martial arts, but it's great training in life. To finish strong, and to finish what you start. And this is what Paul is saying here, but he's saying it specifically in the area of generosity. You were the first to give. When you heard about this, you got all excited about it. But make sure that you carry through on what you decided to do. Now, isn't that true of life? We get excited about things, and we have really good intentions, and we want to make a big goal, but then we got to finish what we said we're going to do. And this is what Paul is saying here with generosity. And so, in the church, you know, we've got a lot of good things that have started through our special missions. And it's important that we continue with these different churches that we've been working with because they really need our help. And so I think we have the PowerPoint ready now. Hopefully. Here we go. As I said before, one of my favorite countries is the country of Haiti. And I've been to Haiti, I don't know, three or four times now. And it is a small country. It shares an island with the Dominican Republic. And it has a population of 10 million people. And you can see there Port-au-Prince and the island there. And Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, so if you go there, just be ready for that. The infrastructure is it's not really up to date, and the roads and schools, they need a lot of help with that. I was there before the earthquake, and it was tough before the earthquake. After the earthquake, it was even more devastated after the earthquake, and even tougher after the earthquake. But the people there are amazing. And, you know, some people say, well, people that are poor, they don't work hard. What I found in my travels around the world, some of the hardest working people you'll ever find are the poor, because they're fighting to survive. And they will walk a mile for water because they're trying to survive. Most of us would not do that. But they will do anything to survive. And so I find them in my travels anyway, when I've seen the poor around the world, whether it's in Haiti or in Africa, I found them to be industrious, hardworking. But when you don't have the resources, guess what? You just don't have the resources. You can't snap your finger and all of a sudden the resources are there. And if the country doesn't provide some resources, then it's really difficult on the people. The people are amazing, and the church certainly is amazing in Haiti. That's the national flag there. Haiti is 80% mountains, very mountainous country. And so there is some farmland, but it's mostly mountains. And if you've never had you've never actually tasted a mango till you've had a fresh one in Haiti. Okay. So if you don't go to Haiti for any other reason, go to try their mangoes. They are so ripe and juicy and delicious and amazing. These are the churches that we have in Haiti. And let me say this, talking about finish what you've started. We help start things in Haiti. We have been the primary supporter of Haiti for a couple of decades now. Other churches have come and gone through different things that we faced over the years. But we've been there solid with Haiti since the very beginning of establishing the church there in Haiti. And so the churches there, if we go back to that slide, the churches there that you see, whether it's in Baudrie or it's in Cape Haitien or it's in Port-au-Prince, Jacmel, these are there because of our special contribution. I mean, it's a direct result of us giving to people that then they're now on full-time salary. They're able to train up other people. I go there. I help train up other people. They go out. They plant churches in different places. And this is something that we started, and it's something that we're going to continue to support this year. And we want to continue to support Haiti because we need to finish what we've started. Okay? This is the this is Jorel Claude and his family there. They were the evangelist in Haiti for many years. On one of my trips, I went and I stayed in their home. And we're talking about the lead evangelist for the church in Haiti. In his home, there was no running water. When they wanted water, they would have to go out. Whenever the person in the neighborhood who controlled the spigot, whenever he decided to turn on the water, everybody in the neighborhood got the word around, and they went out with their pots, and they all went around the spigot, and they filled up pots, and then they took those pots and buckets, and they went home, and they poured it into a bigger bucket. And they just kept that train going back and forth until they could fill up their bucket and just have some water around the house. When I went into their home, I noticed that there were a couple of guys that were frantically putting together an electric fan. And I thought, oh, that's nice. They're putting together an electric fan. I didn't know until that night when I walked into my room that they were doing it for me. They didn't have an electric fan in their house. And it wasn't until the visiting preacher from America came that they decided, let's go out and get a fan for him. And the crazy thing was, during the night, the electricity cut off, like it does most nights in Haiti, in order to save for the day. And so the electricity cut off. And so there was a great gesture to put this electric fan together, but then there was no electricity to have the electric fan run. But that's the type of people that the leaders there are. And some of our support goes directly to the lead evangelist in the church in Port-au-Prince. Now it's the cadets. I think many of us have met the cadets or we've seen them on a video. But they're leading the church there in Haiti now. And so if we can go on to the next slide, I want to show you some of the other couples that are there. This family here, they lead the church in Cape Haitien. This is the Hope leader on the right there. And his family. this is a group of people, these first two rows here. I was doing a Bible Jubilee in Haiti, and these come from one of the islands off of Haiti. It's a small group that they have there. They went from by boat to bus to car to get to the Bible Jubilee, 10 hours one way. 10 hours one way, and then 10 hours home. And they were there sitting on the first two rows, ready to learn. That's the kind of hearts that you have from the disciples in Haiti. This is the worship team practicing just before a worship. And this is the staff. Some of these people, as I mentioned, there's like different couples that are there at different places now. But a few years ago when I went to teach, this is the staff right there. And you could probably pick me out of all of the people. that just shows that I really was there, okay? I didn't put that in by some special technique. I really was there teaching the staff there, and we had a great time. This is one of the communities outside of Port-au-Prince up in the mountains you can see there. It's actually about an hour from where there is a church group that meets, but one brother decided he wanted to go out and help a community, so they went out and they just built this little shelter here. You don't see any, they'll put blankets on it when the time arrives. They teach children in that village right there, and do a great work through teaching children, and they have worship service there, and you can see sort of the table where they're having the communion and that sort of thing. But these are the types of things that are going on in Haiti just to try to reach not just the cities, but actually out into the community. And again, this is something that we've started. It's because of our special contribution, because we've been giving over the years that things like this are able to exist throughout the island now and throughout the country of Haiti. Okay? And just a couple of people there to let you know about the future of Haiti. There's a bright future there. There's a lot of young people that are growing up as kingdom kids, and they're going to do great things for God. And so I just wanted to share that a little bit with you and let you see this is something that we've started, and a great practical advice that Paul gives us right here is finish what you start. It's good in life, but it's good in generosity as well, because if you get something going and then you pull out on it, you really haven't done much good. But that's not what we want to do. We want to continue to give to things that we are, that we have been supporting. Another one is, for example, our Strength and Weakness Ministry. Many of you know Guy Hammond and the good work that he's doing through Strength in Ministry. And what he does, he tries to educate all of us in the ways that we can reach out and counsel and help people that have same-sex attraction. And so he himself counsels a lot of people. They have a great staff of people. A lot of them are volunteer that help counsel other people. But they also teach and train churches how to think in this area. And it is a major, major topic in the world right now, and especially in our part of the world right now. And so Guy Hammond helps out with that and helps all of us in our thinking about it. And when Guy Hammond was first getting support for his Strength and Ministry, Strength and Weakness Ministry, you know, the first church to step up and say, we'll give you support, it's the New York Church. We've been there since day one, supporting the Strength and Weakness Ministry. And we are one of his most generous givers as well. And so that's a work that we started, and now we need to finish. And so it's in our special missions contribution, our special contribution this year. And I've talked about the Ministry Training Academy. This summer, we're going to have probably over 40 kids come out and be with us down at the Philly camp, and then be with us throughout the summer getting training, just trying to see and decide if they want to be in the full-time ministry. You know, maybe a quarter of them end up in the full-time ministry. Think of the good that's going to do over the next decade, okay? But so there's a lot of things that we have started, and now we need to finish what we started. And so this is one of the reasons we give to special contribution. A second thing that Paul says here, just as a matter of practical advice, is be willing. Willingness. Be willing with your generosity. And he says in verse 12, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So willingness. We have to be willing to give. And he talks about this more than once in these two letters. Because I think there is, when it comes to generosity, there is a sense where we do feel like we're under compulsion sometimes. And Paul doesn't want it that way. Jesus doesn't want it that way. That's why Paul says, make sure that you've given yourself first and then give your gift. Because he wants us to have a willing heart. And so as you think about giving for our special, make sure that you are being generous in a willing way, that your heart, you've given your heart first. And you say, well, how do I do that? You know, I don't feel compelled from my heart to give. So how do I work on my heart? And I say, great question. That's a great question. Don't let me answer it. I want to let Henry Nouwen answer it. Henry Nouwen is a scholar that I really like and I really appreciate. And he said this when we're talking about giving and generosity. He says to pray and to be grateful. Those two things. Prayer and gratitude. In fact, he says, as our prayer deepens into a constant awareness of God's goodness, the spirit of gratitude grows within us. Gratitude flows from the recognition that who we are and what we have are gifts to be received and shared. Gratitude releases us from the bonds of obligation and prepares us to offer ourselves freely and fully for the work of the kingdom. And I love that where he talks about you pray. And you pray, and the more you pray, the more grateful you get. And the more grateful you get, guess what? The more generous you get. And so if you need to work on your willingness, then you pray about it. And you work on your gratitude. You know, I am so grateful for all the blessings that God has given me in life. And I consider one of his greatest blessings is the church here. I really appreciate the church that we are a part of. And I really appreciate the relationships that I have in the church. And I appreciate, you know, when I think about what God has done this year for us, especially with the campus ministry. I think about the campus ministry, and I just appreciate the fruit that God has given us in the campus ministry. You know, we've also gone through a pruning time. It's been a time of pruning, but the Gospels talk about, in the Gospels, Jesus talks about how whenever you go through a time of pruning, God will bless you, and God will bring you fruit, because more fruit comes from a time of pruning. And so I recognize that. Yes, we've gone through a time of pruning, but God has been faithful. He's been faithful, and he's opened up this ministry that we didn't even know was there. And we've seen all this fruit this year, and it's just been abundantly fruitful and joyful to see what God has done. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm really thankful for what God has done. When I see there the fruit from just really him opening the door and blessing us in an amazing way. And so pray and be grateful. The third thing that Paul talks about, he says to plan. Planned generosity. Plan on being generous. And if you look in verse 12, it says, for if the willingness is not there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Be generous with what you have. But if you don't have it, don't try to be generous with it. And this is super practical. Because if you don't have it and you're trying to be generous, you're going to dig yourself into a deeper hole. Okay? I've heard of people that have gone out and they've charged more on their credit card to give to special. Okay? Now, a lot of evangelists, if you were just to listen to a lot of evangelists, they would say, awesome, go do that. You know? Because they want more given to their contribution. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, if you feel like the only way you can give is to charge to your credit card, you need to check out your credit and look at your credit cards. And you need to get to the point where you give out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. Now, there was a time where Lee and I were in credit card debt. And we were paying the high interest on the credit card debt, which is where they really get you. It's hard just to make the payments because you're paying interest all the time. And so we went through Nelson's financial workshop, and Nelson, man, he's hard line. And he gets in there and he figures it out with you, and he looks at the numbers and he says, "You can't live like this anymore," you know. And I appreciated that. And we got with him, and he worked with us, and he showed us how to go about paying off these different credit cards, you know, putting them all into one and then talking that one down into lower interest and then just attacking it. And now, you know, we've been out of credit card debt for a number of years now, and it feels so much better. It feels good to be able to give out of what you have instead of trying to create something out of what you don't have. And so, you know, you look at the Bible, you think, oh, the Bible, is it really that practical? Is it really, can it really help us in life? This is super practical here, where Paul says, be generous, but be generous out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. Don't go borrowing from your neighbor to try to give to special contribution, because then you'll owe your neighbor. Don't go borrowing from the bank, you know, to do that. And again, I might even get in trouble for saying that. I don't think I will, but It's just the right thing. The right thing is, if you are in a hole financially, get yourself right. And then what you'll find is, this idea of willing generosity comes a lot easier when you're giving out of what you have instead of what you don't have. And so I encourage you to do that. And this is what Paul is saying here. Basically, I think what goes along with this as well is, generosity is a lifestyle. It's a part of the way that we live. And so if we're generous people, we're going to be generous, you know, whether it's for a special contribution or whether it's for having some people over for dinner or if it's celebrating someone's birthday, we're going to be generous people. That's a lifestyle that we choose as disciples. But it's also something that has to be governed by the way that we have money, use money, spend money, look at money, and so think about that in your own lives. And if you need help with that, please don't come see me. I'm not the guy to help. But see Nelson. Nelson will really help you if you need help with that, and he's awesome at it. Okay. Point number four, you guys with me? Okay, we're coming in for a landing right now. Point number four, equality. When he talks about generosity here, he talks about equality. Let me just read this. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. The disciples in Jerusalem, when Paul was writing this, they had too little. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth and saying, you have much. And so give to the people that have too little. At some point, they're going to be blessed, and they might have much. And then if you fall into a hard time, they'll be able to help you out. But I want you to understand here, Paul is not making a political statement here. That's not what he's doing. Paul is not making a statement about global economics. He's not doing that. And if you try to pull that out of this passage, you're really misusing the passage. I just read this long article by an Anabaptist that was written in 1577. And he basically, his belief was is that all Christians should live in community with each other, and we should not possess anything individually. Everything should be possessed by the community. So no possessions, it's all communal. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, and he practiced this, and his community practiced this, and he went through the whole Bible. He went from Genesis through Revelation and pointed out every verse that he thought that applied to that you cannot own possessions. And he came up with over 140 verses. But most of them didn't apply at all to what he was talking about. He just made them apply. And this is one of them right here. Paul is not talking about global economy. He's not talking about how the U.S. should set up their economy. He was talking about in churches, if there's a church that needs our help, give them help. And in the future, if you need help, speak up and the church will help you out. And he's talking really about church families, church communities. He's talking about different churches in the first century. He's talking specifically about Jerusalem and Corinth and Macedonia. Macedonia even gave out of their poverty, but they wanted to give because Jerusalem was even harder pressed than Macedonia was. And so you look at all that and you see that what he's saying here is, he's saying the goal of generosity is if we know of people that need our help, then we try to help. And that's really true when it comes to the work in Haiti. They need our help. They would not exist today if it weren't for the New York ministry. And if we were to pull out, then they would have to go find someone else, another church, to support them because they just could not do it on their own. The same is true with our work in Africa. If we were to pull out of what we are doing in Africa, they would have to go find support somewhere else. And so we, out of our prosperity, and we are one of the most prosperous countries in the world. And if you were to travel the world, you would realize that you're one of the richest people in the world. Compared to the whole world, we get to give out of our generosity and out of our prosperity and what we have. And so what Paul is saying here is that the goal should be, if people need help, then we try to help. And I think one of the things that Paul is getting at here is, let's not be greedy with what we have, but let's be generous people. You know, greed can really cripple us. Paul talks about there should not be a hint of sexual immorality in our lives. And we hear that and we say, amen. That's right. Not a hint of sexual immorality. But he also says in the same sentence, not a hint of greed. And are we as strong to amen that point? Because we like our things. And we don't usually talk about greed, but Paul does. And he talks about it in a hard way when he talks about it. One writer said this, God does not want his children to live here on earth like cattle, like cows, like donkeys, like buffalo, where each one only seeks to fill his own belly. To do so would be less than dogs, who never know what they had that they have had enough, or like a sow, who wants the feeding trough all to herself and will give to the others only what is left over. Rather, God wants his own to live here on earth as a new humanity, as members of one body. God doesn't want us to be greedy. He wants us to share, and he wants us to be generous people. So as we think about generosity and we think about giving, then I want to just encourage us to look at the admonition of Paul here. Paul is just giving some good practical advice. And for all of us, let's finish what we start. Even when it comes June 11th and we have the special and we thought about what we want to give, let's finish what we start there, understanding that what we give is going to be going to places where we have started ministries and we started good work and we want to finish the work there. Let's give willingly. And if we need to work on our willingness, then let's pray and let's think about what we have to be grateful for. And that will help us to be more willing. Let's plan. Let's give out of what we have. And let's make sure that we share and that we fight greed and that in our lives we want to make sure that there is not a hint of greed in our lives as Paul admonishes the church in Ephesus. So this is the admonition that Paul gives us. And I encourage you to continue to look on at these chapters. There's a lot more here. We'll be looking at it together. But one of the things that we want to be as people of God is we want to be generous people. And we want to know that we want people to see the light shining through us because we care, because we love, and because we share with other people. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.